In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ healed a man that was demon-possessed, and this man suffered from blindness and could not speak. But prior to that, remember where we are in the Coptic Orthodox calendar. This is the time of the disciples. You know, we have this great hymn that we pray. I love it very much. It's the first one that I ever learned when I came into the church, you know, so long ago. And Marinhos, in case you want to know that. But which means let us praise. Marin means let us, and hos means praise. So the Lord met a man who had a withered hand. Then he met a man who was paralyzed and was let down by four friends in the midst of him on a bed or a pallet. And now he has healed a man who was demon-possessed. To demonstrate what? And what does the church wish us to concentrate on? The work of the Holy Spirit. Now the Jews were not ignorant of the Holy Spirit, because it was by the Holy Spirit that the prophets speak. Moses saw the day of the Lord, as it is written in the Bible. Moses, Jesus said to the Pharisees, saw my day. He's the arch prophet. The Jews were very much aware of the working of God in his spirit. Now, what's the symbolism? The first, the withered hand. You know, there are people that have much, and they are stingy. Their hand is withered. They cannot give to the poor. They cannot help to sustain the church that they go to, even though they're betting everything on their salvation by going to that church. They spend money on themselves. They spend money on whatever else it is that they think is important. But their hand is withered in the sense that Jesus Christ wants the hand to be open. The man on the pallet was somebody that was completely paralyzed. Paralyzed because of his own lusts that had made him a possession of the devil. You know, I've had friends who have taken their own lives because of drugs. My generation was the generation that experienced every kind of drug. As a matter of fact, if you try to find some of the drugs that we had in abundance in the 60s, you'll find them hard to get now, because they've basically been chopped down to just a few that are very very profitable and very much more easily found. Some drugs are manufactured by backyard chemists, and those are becoming increasingly more rare because of the penalties that attend to someone who is tried and convicted of such an offense. But friends have died. Friends that meant something to me. And there are other friends that I have who are, as this young man was, paralyzed. Not paralyzed in the sense that they couldn't move their body, but paralyzed in this society. Do you know how many people count themselves as victims? Do you know what a victim is? A victim is someone that cannot remove from their own life the weight that is bearing down on them. And why is that? Because they don't have anybody that they can trust to help lift that weight from them. This young man had four friends. And the fathers of the church say these are the four gospels. There isn't anybody who knows Jesus Christ that has these problems. There isn't anybody. Not Not that you will not suffer for having known Christ, all of the disciples, in fact, except for John, were horribly murdered. And it's written also, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So yes, you're going to have problems, but they're not going to be from things that are self-inflicted. It's one thing for somebody to hit you. It's another thing for you to hit yourself. Why would anybody hit themselves? Why would they do that? Well, why does anybody overeat? Or why does anybody smoke? Or why does anybody take drugs? Or why does anybody behave recklessly when they drive? Or why does anybody do things that they know are deleterious to their life? Why does anybody do that? It's because we have an enemy, the ruler of this world. And why is he called the ruler? And who is it that he rules? He doesn't rule over us because he's the strong man, as it's said in Scripture. His strength is that we have given ourselves to him. He waves something in front of our face, what it is that you want. You know how many girls that I know that have given themselves over to fornication because they didn't think that they were good looking, and somebody around them said, oh, you're very good looking. And that girl attached herself to that boy who was a smooth talker, and he had his way with her. There's a girl I knew that used to open up her window at night and let a boy come in to her bed. She was 14. 14. How do you have such a bad image of yourself at the age of 14? It's because you have never tried to think about what it is when you read Proverbs about a woman who is described as having more worth than her weight in rubies. It's an amazing thing when you think about, you know, if you look at flowers come in such different colors. They come in such different shapes, but they're all beautiful. They're all lovely. Have you ever seen these fish? I love tropical fish. You see some fish, they have a long nose. It goes outside their body of, you know, about 25% of their whole body. And they've got this long, long nose with a mouth at the end of it. And you ask yourself, what was God thinking? And then you've got a shark where the mouth is hidden underneath this gigantic nose. You can't even see the mouth until he opens and pulls his nose way back up to bite you. And there are colors. There has never, look at what they call the clownfish, you know? They have fish that are just, I knew a girl that had an aquarium and she had ranunculus. Ranuncula is a type of bulbous goldfish, a big fish, about the size of a man's fist, and the most brilliant orange and the most beautiful white pearl. God did this. Well, the one fish doesn't look like the other fish. So which is the beautiful fish? Which is the beautiful fish? Who told this person that she was ugly? And who told this person that her problems could be solved if she just found somebody who didn't think she was ugly? And the answer is the strong man, Satan. Satan does these things. And we have our ear, and he has our ear, and it's a terrible thing. So there's a whole lot of theology in this. I have chosen not to speak about it particularly because it may not be of as much interest as the things that I've already mentioned. But I want to say to you that this is the time of the expression of the Spirit through God's people. First it was his disciples, and then the 70. What did What did they say when they came back to him after he had sent them the first time? He said, Lord, even the spirits are subject unto us in your name. So when the Jews began to say he doesn't cast out devils except by the prince of devils, the Lord then said to them, well, okay. By whom then are your sons, meaning the disciples and the 70, the sons of the Jews, the sons of the Pharisees, the sons of the Sadducees, by whom are they casting out the devils? Therefore, they're going to be your judges, because they're casting out devils in Jesus' name. They said this in the Bible, Lord, the devils are subject unto us in your name. He said, make the tree good or make and make the fruit good, or make the tree bad and the fruit bad. But if you see good fruit, you're trying to say it comes from a bad tree? If I'm the bad tree, how come good fruit comes from me? And how come in my name your children can use this bad tree for such good fruit? How is that possible? Of course, all that they did was make known their jealousies. They made known their horrible, horrible jealousies. And the Lord wished to include them. Look, if a Jehovah's Witness comes to my door, I'm going to have a little bit of fun for about 5 minutes. But then, because I've done this many times throughout my life, I invite them into my room, and the first thing they do is they see the Virgin of the Sign, then they see Archangel Michael, then they see Saint Mina, then they see the large icon of the children crossing the Red Sea. And they know they've just stepped into the wrong house. But I won't spend a lot of time with them. Why did the Lord spend so much time discussing things with Pharisees? Why wasn't he just dismissive of them? Because he loved them. The Lord loved them. He wanted to save them. He came especially for them. What's it written in St. John, the Gospel? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto his own family, and his own family rejected him. Think about that. He spent time with the Pharisees. You see this word over and over and over and over, speaking with them. Why? To try to convince them of the truth, to let them see. I told you earlier when we were talking about icons that you have to see as I see with my glasses. I can see the glass itself, and I can see through it. Look at a window. If you don't wear glasses, look at a window. You can see the spots on the window, and you can see right through the window. If anybody wants to have the best example of this, sit in the front seat of my car, because my windshield is really dirty. But you can still see. That's how I got here. But it's a dirty windshield. Okay, well, it'd be better if I cleaned it, wouldn't it? So the cleansing of the eye means to conform your mind to what it is that you are actually looking for when you look. When you look at a panorama, you have a number of different things that you can focus on. You can focus on the things that are near or the things that are far. You can focus on the trees or the small plants and the grass. You can focus on the animals if there are any, or the human beings. You can focus on the buildings. You have a choice. You use your circumcised eyes to see what the Lord is intent upon showing you. A man will look at a beautiful woman and he will have lust in his heart if he has the wrong kind of vision. A man will look at that same woman who has that right feeling that God wants, and you'll say, a magnificent creation. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Just as you have put lilies in the field and so better clothed that field than Solomon himself, so you have made this beautiful creation your daughter. And I thank you. accomplishment, I thank you. But I don't want anything for myself other than what you've allowed me. I don't want any more than that. It's like when you see a beautiful sunset. You don't capture it, but you enjoy it. It doesn't become a possession, but it becomes something that you can lead other people and say, hey, come outside and look at this. Isn't this beautiful? I remember when I was flying into Florida one time, as we reduced elevation in the plane, I saw clouds that were so white, I have never seen such a whiteness. And the sun was reflected on these clouds, and the sky was the most perfect blue. I've never seen such a blue sky, and the contrast was breathtaking. And these clouds were mountainous. It looked like you could have jumped out on them, and they would have held your weight. What do you say? Oh, these are, you know, this is just moisture. And by the way, having flown a plane, when you go through a cloud, all it is fog. It's the most dissatisfying thing. It was the first thing that I wanted to do, and it didn't make me happy at all after having done it. But you can look at it. I told you before, John Stuart Mill, one of the brightest people that has ever lived in the world, he was composing Greek poetry, him being British, at the age of 4. And all he could see when he saw a beautiful sunset was the stratification of gas. He didn't see beauty. He didn't see beauty. How impoverished, how unlike the eyes of God, how completely unlike the eyes of God. Later on, through a poet, he was able to see. But that poet was in possession of that godly power. You all have that ability to be in possession of that godly power. He will give it to you as he gave it to his disciples. He will give you more than you can imagine. I told you about the story of the old man who was asked by his grandson when they were fishing and the time was passing slowly and the subject came up about God and, you know, how the young man is searching to know God and how do you know God and what do you see? And the old man looked at him and said, son, at my age now, all I see is God. All I see is God. All I see are the things that he has created. All I see is his beauty. All I see is his intelligence. All I see is his organization. All I see is heavenly. And that can be ours. It's a terrible thing that a man may condemn himself because he's jealous. But many have and many will continue. Now, let's not be like that, and let us pray that we will hear and that we will see that which is beneficial. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.